Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, mask requirements are changing again. The California Food and Wine Festival is returning. We have the details.
Great news about the trams. The Super Bowl came to Disneyland. We talk with Debbie and Steve about their brand new rope drop park bag and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Ah, buenos dias, señorita. My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people listening. Welcome to DL Weekly's Enchanted Podcast. Hey, Tag and Teresa, mi amigos. Pay attention, it's show time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of February 16th, 2022. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank all of our current weekly tiers for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and that we can make it to the parks more often to bring you the latest and greatest news and information from the parks. If you would like to become an official weekly tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, DL Weekly logo stickers are still available. We have four versions for you to choose from. Watercolor, Classic White, The Magic is Back, and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. These durable stickers are great anywhere, on your water bottle, laptop, or even your car window. Head on over to store.dlweekly.net to order yours.
Now let's get to the news.
Starting this Thursday, February 17th, face coverings will only be required for unvaccinated guests age 2 and older in all indoor locations, including throughout indoor attractions and indoor queues. Face coverings are required for all guests, regardless of vaccination status, in certain indoor settings, including Disney shuttles, and in health settings such as in first aid. Face coverings are optional for guests in outdoor areas.
You know, we were talking about this last week, and I'm actually a little surprised that Disney changed their policy this quickly. So for those of you that may not know, the state of California actually changed their policy. Mm-hmm. And so they changed their policy on February 15th that indoor, it wouldn't be required anymore for indoors if you were vaccinated to wear your mask. It seems like I was actually thinking back to our trips because of this, because it seems like this, of course, these rules are always changing because the situation's always changing. But it seems like Disney, I think when we were there in July, we did not, masks were not required for indoors if you were vaccinated when we were there for July. But when we were back in September and, of course, December, it was required again. So I kind of didn't think Disney would change the rule right away. I thought they'd kind of ride it out for a little while and they would still have masks required indoors. So I was a little surprised by this quick change.
Yeah, I was expecting that Disney was going to hold on to it because Florida has not had a mask mandate mm-hmm. for a while now, and they continued to have the indoor masking in their theme parks in Florida. So I was surprised that Disneyland kind of went this way so quickly. I guess my opinion overall is I think whether people are for it or against it or whatever, that the world is trying to get back to normal. And I think that with the fact that the weather is getting nicer mm-hmm. and there's less cases and stuff when the weather is nicer, I feel like this is an opportunity to take down some of these mandates and kind of see what that's going to look like. At some point, we may go back to some type of masking, but for now, it looks like they're going to lift that, and we'll all see how it goes, and maybe it's going to all work out, and we're finally getting to the end of all of this, hopefully.
And just a reminder, you know, you can do whatever you're comfortable with, so if you're more comfortable to be in the crowded spaces with your masks on, nobody's going to tell you, hey, you can't wear that here. So by all means, if your comfort level is with going to these more crowded places, Disneyland included, and continuing to mask up, go for it.
I think that's going to be something going forward.
I think
there's
so
going to be people that, regardless mm-hmm. of what's going on, may or may not wear masks depending on the situation, because that's just their comfort level. It's, you know, places overseas, people have been wearing masks for a long time because of the fact that there's a high density and they don't want to get sick and stuff like that. So, you know, more power to those people. If they, you know, I still wear a mask occasionally.
Mm-hmm. The Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is returning to the resort from March 4th through April 26th. This year, over a dozen festival marketplaces will offer fun and exciting food options. Special menu items will also be offered at dining locations around the park, such as Pym Test Kitchen and Terran Treats in Avengers Campus. The Sip and Savor Pass will be available to use on up to 8 items from the festival. Okay. So what do you think of some of the special events and the merchandise that's coming?
Well, the merchandise, you know, it seems like they always come out with great merchandise. We've seen tons of great merchandise, which reminds me, did you hear that the Figment popcorn buckets are back in stock in Walt Disney World?
I did. But
it's good to have some of this merchandise. One of the things that I always like at these food and wine festivals is the fact that they have the culinary demonstrations, because I love watching chefs cook, and sometimes you'll be able to taste some of the things that they're cooking and whatnot. So a huge fan of that stuff. And it's just such a unique thing. I know Epcot's been doing stuff like this for quite a while, but I love that Disneyland and Disney California Adventure are getting into this with all of these different things. Again, one of the big differences between this and Lunar New Year, and I know we're going to talk about food in a little bit, but there's more booths.
There are more booths. Which will be helpful. Yeah, they kind of highlight California's communities and regions within the different, you know, dishes and within the different booths. So like one of the booths is, of course, we have wine booths for the Food and Wine Festival.
Sure.
One of the booths is kind of like focused on like, what is it? I think avocado and like artichoke, some, you know, produce that, of course, is grown right there in California,
sure.
All sorts of fun stuff. But one place to check out is the Hollywood Backlot. They're going to have a ton of entertainment and presentations for all ages. So that's going to be where a lot of these extra things are happening. Alice in Wonderland Bakery, which is a new animated series that debuted on Disney Junior, inspired a fun festival experience for all of those junior chefs out there. It's going to be called, very cute, Alice's Wonderland Bakery Unbirthday Party. So kids ages 3 to 11 will have the opportunity to do some hands-on cupcake decorating. Space is limited for this, so make sure that you sign up.
Yeah.
To claim your spot.
Yeah, I love when they do these things that bring kids and spectators in, especially kids. The kids love decorating things like cupcakes, and I'm sure they get to eat the cupcake afterwards. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It is.
So that's cool that, again, they're doing that kind of synergy. We've talked many times on the show how it seemed like there for a while the parks weren't really having synergy with their other stuff going on. And I feel like they're starting to get back to some of that, which I really enjoy. And doing it for something like the fest is great. Is there anything that you are particularly excited about with this festival offering that's not food?
That's not food. So I don't know if we're going to be able to catch any of the demonstrations. It seems like a lot of the culinary demonstrations will be taking place on Saturdays and Sundays, again, at the Hollywood Backlot stage. So I don't know if we'll be able to catch any of those, because when we're there, we're going to have a busy weekend and we're enjoying the park weekdays instead. But from what I can see, I actually really like the spirit jersey. I'm not a huge spirit jersey person, but I love the colors on this one. It's got like a dark purple at the base of the sleeve, so like by the cuff, and then it kind of like fades into like this kind of, I don't know if you want to call it a purple or if it's like a, it's kind of a pink purple.
Yeah.
And then it has like a cluster of grapes on the chest that says Food and Wine Festival. I think I really like the colors. They're
the
like
colors
fun
are great
and bright, very springy. Very fun.
We're talking about all the things to do at the Food and Wine Festival, but what about, of course, the food? We kind of alluded to that a minute ago. Some of the options coming to the festival were previewed for Disney Visa cardholders in the most recent mailer. And some of those things, I will tell you, look really good.
Some look very good. Some I have no interest in trying. The one that is a little out there for me is the peanut butter and jelly mac. So that's peanut butter and jelly on top of macaroni and cheese.
Based sauce with elbow macaroni, strawberry jam, brown sugar streusel, and strawberry crackle.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I did ask James, producer James, because he
guess
loves mac and cheese.
No cheese on it, so that makes it better. But yeah, I don't know.
He's a big peanut butter fan. He's not a big jelly person, so his response was kind of mixed.
I will have to get it, and of the six of us, because it's you, James, the two exchange students, Vern and I, we'll get one, and we'll just each try a bite, because
it'll be
gone. Kind of one of those weird, like, Maybe? I don't know.
And then it ends up being amazing and you want one yourself. You like guacamole, right?
I do like guacamole.
This frozen guacamole.
That one's a little interesting to me, too. Frozen guacamole. So it's an avocado ice cream bar flavored with a hint of vanilla, but they have a light lime crema, pico de gallo, and it's sprinkled with crushed corn tortillas on top. So that one's a little... I'm not so sure about that one.
How about the Orange Grove cold brew?
All about the cold brew. All about the cold brew. It's Joffrey's Coffee and Tea Company Mexican origin coffee with orange blossom honey, white chocolate, orange juice, vanilla, and almond milk. That sounds very refreshing. And delicious.
They have a slider, but I'll tell you, these deep fried artichoke balls, which it's an artichoke dip turned into a deep fried artichoke ball. It's got gooey cheese crusted with crunchy crushed chicharrones, served
those.
As a duo drizzled in smoked pepper crema. That looks so good.
It looks so yummy.
And of course, the caramel peanut milk chocolate Mickey macaron that also looks very good. Center of this chocolate Mickey shaped macaron is filled with caramel, milk chocolate, and peanuts. Ooh.
Okay, I don't think we're going to be allowed to share that one because you're definitely going to want
that
one
all
to yourself.
One of our community managers was just there and she sent us some of the macarons from the Grand Californian Hotel lobby. And we, right before recording, we ate two of them and they were very good.
We shared two of them.
Yes.
It was very delicious.
Good of them.
The other thing that I noticed, Mice Chat, talked about some other dishes that were coming that were returning dishes, and I was crazy excited because I spotted the carbonara garlic mac and cheese. I think this is the mac and cheese that we had during Touch of Disney that Tag and I both just super, super enjoyed. So I'm very excited to see that.
You know what I want to see on the menus, but they don't have? I want to see, because I haven't had a chance to eat it.
The full menu hasn't come out.
Is the garlic noodles.
Maybe they'll have them.
I hope so. I hope so. Speaking of Disney card, Disney Visa card members, if you buy your Sip and Saver Pass with the Disney Visa card, you can get $5 off the purchase and get an exclusive festival lanyard.
They have also talked about a discount for Magic Key holders, but they have not announced what the pricing is for the Sip and Saver Pass yet, or what that discount will be for Magic Key holders. There's probably no way that they would allow this, but it'd be pretty cool if you could stack.
Oh yeah,
there's
no way. No way that they're going to do that. Some of the booths that they're going to have at the Festival Marketplace, I'll just read the names quickly.
Look at that. Sorry, this just popped up. Garlic Kissed is one of the booths.
They had
there
that before. Maybe.
That your garlic noodles might come back.
The ones that they have are Avocado Time, Berry Patch, California Craft Brews, Cluckle Doodle Moo, Delish, Garlic Kissed, Golden Dreams, I Heart Artichokes, LA Style, Nuts About Cheese, Peppers Cali Ente, and Uncork California. So these sound really good. I was delighted that this was happening when we were going to be there, because I love these food festivals are great.
They are. So we've kind of been beating around the bush a little bit, but so we're Tag and I, as well as the rest of the DL Weekly crew, Vern and James, we are actually going to be in the parks during this festival. We are being very secretive about when it will be exactly, because it's actually for Vern and I's wedding. We're getting married at Disneyland. Woo! Very exciting, I know. But so we are going for a personal trip. So we haven't been announcing anything really about that trip because we are kind of trying to keep that more private.
There's gonna be so much going on.
So that we can spend the time, of course, celebrating the wedding. We're going to be there with lots of friends and family. So we've got, tons and tons going on. So as much as we would love to be able to hang out with Weekly Tears, that is a very, very packed week and weekend that we're going to be there. So
I won't speak
very
for
excited.
Teresa and Vern, but if you see me, producer James, and our two exchange students around in the parks, feel free to come up and say hi to us. I will say, if we look like we're part of a wedding group, probably wave or something, but we're probably doing wedding business at that point.
So lots of wedding stuff happening,
but anybody who's gotten married knows it's a very stressful time. Mm-hmm. It's also a very happy time. And we just didn't want to try to add too much to the plate and just kind of focus on the wedding for that time. So we'll be back in the parks again later this year. For sure, probably D23. We mm-hmm. bought tickets for that. So just the heads up for that.
Well, a fan favorite is also returning for the Food and Wine Festival. Soarin' Over California will be swapped and replacing Soarin' Over the World. Guests will be experiencing the sights and smells of California starting on March 4th with no current end date announced.
I'm very excited for this, too, because I like the original over Soarin' Over California, and our exchange students will be there, so they get to experience the like better version of this. Wasn't this also playing when Catspur was here? I feel like it was also the California version.
Yeah, it was, because there was actually a point in time that you, I don't think, maybe you hadn't seen Soarin' Over the World, because your trips kept aligning when they would flip it back to Soarin' Over California. So,
and you know what? After experiencing Over the World, it doesn't bother me that I missed it that much.
Yeah, no, I do enjoy California. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's
more real.
Yeah, it feels more real in it. I don't know, which doesn't make sense. It shouldn't feel more real, because you would think the updated film and technology should have
helped. But they have just elements of it where the original, for instance, the original had, the only thing that was fake was like the golf ball coming at your head. But in Soarin' Over the World, it's like all the animals, a lot of the animals were CG. All the transitions were CG.
The transitions and the CG doesn't bother me. The thing what bothers me is when we're doing things like soaring over the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And if you're not looking at the exact correct spot, it gets very warped.
Oh, sure.
And same thing, the Taj Mahal gets very, very warped looking.
Well, I think you commented to me that you thought the Taj Mahal looked like CGI. But they did fly over it so. I'm excited that this is coming back. It makes me very happy.
Me too.
Weekly Tears should probably sit down for this one. The trams are coming back this month. Disneyland posted on Twitter that the trams are returning on February 24th. That is just, from when this episode posts, that is a week and a day from the day that this episode posts. So Thursday the 24th. It has been just under 2 years since the trams cycled between the Mickey and Friends and Pixar Palace parking structures and Downtown Disney.
I like to believe, whether this is true or not, I'm choosing to believe this. I like to believe that it was intentional that they made the announcement that the trams were coming back during Magic Keyholder Month.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
I really think they did that on purpose, because I feel like Magic Keyholders were probably the ones that, you know, obviously we're using, you know, those are the people that live nearby, so those are the people that
driving
are parking in the ramps, and the ones that were utilizing the trams most often, arguably. So Magic Keyholders,
you know what's going to be ridiculous,
very, very excited.
You're going to laugh at me, but you're not going to find this unexpected.
You're going to want to ride the trams.
I am going to have to take the boys on the tram, and they're going to look at me like I'm a crazy person.
I would suggest you do that before you let them like into the parks.
Well, the one morning they're going to be let into the park without me, because they're going into California Adventure with our community manager, Kate. So I don't have any control over that.
Yeah, I feel like you had hope of maybe them thinking it was cool if it was the first thing they did, because otherwise they're going to have some, they're going to think, you know what I mean? They're going to have like rides and attractions.
He thinks this is good. What is coming?
They're like, why aren't we in the park riding Space Mountain again? What is this? I don't understand. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like obviously the last few times we've been there, it's been closed. Mm-hmm. But even before that, I think only one of the trips we had gone on did I ever ride it, because we went over and took photos. Remember Richard? Weekly Tear, which Richard came over and took prom photos with me over there. It was great.
I don't remember what was going on, because I was supposed to go over there with you, but then I didn't. I don't remember.
Because you had something else you'd rather do, and you were like, it's so ridiculous.
I don't remember what.
Who went with me? Somebody went with me, though, other than Richard, I thought.
Well, Catspur.
Okay, because he was laughing at me.
Yeah. I don't remember what else was going on at about that time that I opted out of that fun for. I don't remember.
I don't know
either.
It
was a long time ago now. Well, guests who take the rafts over to Tom Sawyer Island in the near future will have a unique experience. The refurbishment of Fantasmic has made the dock used for guests unavailable at the moment, so the rafts are docking at the Fantasmic support dock further down the river. To keep the river traffic safe when leaving the island, guests are taken around the entire island and back to the dock. This is a unique opportunity to see the river this way. No word on how long the dock will be closed for this work, but act fast if you're interested in this.
This probably won't be doing this when we're there.
No.
But it would be so cool to take one of those rafts around because
That'd
you're
be
going a little bit slower and you're lower down. Mm-hmm. You could see the murder beavers closer, probably. Maybe I just need to ride the Mark Twain on the bottom because I always ride it up top.
The top.
So maybe that's what I should do to give me kind of the same kind of feel.
Well, and the Mark Twain is kind of on the outer rim of, you know, whereas the smaller things like the canoes and I'm
sure
the rafts are kind of more towards the inside. So you'd be closer to your friendly beavers on the Mark Twain.
It's difficult though, because I feel I'm always drawn to go up higher.
Yeah.
But I need to just stay down.
Maybe the next couple of trips you'll have to ride it a couple of times so you can still have the experience from riding.
Sure.
You know, through on the top, but then also try either the middle or the bottom. I have this like Disney bucket list thing that I want to ride the Mark Twain on the bottom, but grab one of the seats like that are in the front.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what I think?
So cool.
Okay, I'm giving Disney an idea that they can make a bunch of money with. I think what would be cool on weekdays when they don't have Fantasmic running, that they run a dining package.
Oh, that'd be very cool.
And you could dine on the Mark Twain. It'll just like go around the river a few times while you eat. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I'd pay to do that. But I also was talking with somebody about paying to do the a backstage tour, and everybody thinks I'm nuts for that, but whatever.
This group does not think you're nuts for wanting to do a backstage tour. Are you kidding?
Well, another favorite nighttime spectacular has made more progress towards performances again. The World of Color projector housings have been reinstalled along the back of the Paradise Bay. The previous housings had a lot of weather damage that would not be repaired. Once the new housing installation is completed, the show should be ready to begin testing and adjustments before opening to the public sometime this spring.
I'm getting so excited because they've now put the fountains, like the housing or the platforms for the fountains, have been resubmerged. The last kind of piece of the puzzle was the projector housings that kind of, you know, it's one of those things that I never really knew what they were until they took them, you know, until we've been reporting on them. I've been much more keenly aware of these because I thought they were actually just kind of decorative pieces for the pier and for the lagoon area, but they have a purpose. Of course, it's Disney. Everything has some sort of purpose. But we're getting so close. So close. I am really hoping that Fantasmic and World of Color are just around the corner. It's feeling like it is. I could be totally wrong, but it's feeling like it's getting close.
Percentage the other big thing, that you think that'll be going when we're there?
I'm having pretty good feelings on that. Because one of the things is the Sailing Ship Columbia wraps up their refurb soon. So that's also a good sign. And there's been a lot of work going on with the fountains and such for Fantasmic. This is what, the third time I want to say that they've had that drained that they're working on stuff. So I feel we're getting close. I feel like we're getting close.
You know what I was thinking about earlier today? Do you think that Disney has come up with a better contingency plan in the future, if the parks were to close again, that they would come up with a contingency plan to keep this stuff more maintained? Because I feel like they've spent an outrageous amount of money bringing all this back up.
Well, and I think, you know, there's probably stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't really know about either. Because I don't think it's Pirates is going to be going under for refurbishment pretty soon.
We
noticed the last few times we've been there that Pirates was a little worse for the wear. The turntables were very, very loud. And, you know, so a lot of this stuff, again, was not meant to sit and not move for as long as it sat and not move. So I think, you know, slowly but surely they'll get stuff back in tip top shape. But yeah, so it will be, I don't, I don't foresee the parks having to ever close for this long again. Sure. But who knows? I never thought they'd have to close for this long this time around. So, yeah, they do need, you know, a better maintenance plan if this were to happen, I think, in the future.
I do also want to say, talking about how beautiful the Paradise area is, community manager Kate is actually in there on the night we're recording this, so she posted this gorgeous photo. It's a little stormy tonight, but this picture she set with the lights of Pixar Pier, like, reflecting on the bay, oh, looks amazing.
That's, yeah, the Palround lights, the rainbow of colors mm-hmm. on the lagoon is just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Just gorgeous. For weekly tiers in the United States, this last weekend was the Super Bowl. The Los Angeles Rams beat the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. What does this have to do with Disneyland? Well, the Rams players, MVP Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, and Matthew Stafford said the iconic phrase, "I'm going to Disneyland," and sure enough, they did. The champions took part in a cavalcade down Main Street, a trip around Avengers Campus, and more. To see the highlights, visit the link in our show notes.
So, I'm not a football or sports fan in general. I did watch the Super Bowl.
You did?
I was rooting for the Rams, and they won in, like, last minute, which is the type of football game I like. It was close. So it got exciting because sometimes when it's not, whatever. When I found out they were going to Disneyland, I was like, yay. And it makes perfect sense, though. They're in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it makes sense to go to LA to Disneyland. So very cool. It amazes me that these, and it's happened with Disney World, the last Super Bowl and stuff, too. It's like the very next day they're in Disneyland. It's like, you just probably exerted yourself more than like most people do in like a month in one night. And then you're, boom, there. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
With the big 50th anniversary celebration for Walt Disney World in full swing, a couple of board games are coming out to mark the occasion. One of them is called the Happiest Day Game, which the description reads, quote, "It's a delightful game of sharing and discovery. Visit exciting attractions, meet cherished characters, and experience magical moments throughout the Magic Kingdom Park. Along the way, you'll share your favorite ways to spend the day. When Tinkerbell reaches the top of the castle, the game board magically transforms from day to night. It's an enchanting adventure every time you play," end quote. But the one we are most excited for is the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad game. That description reads, quote, "This here's the wildest game in the wilderness. Step off the stagecoach and into the cursed mining town of Tumbleweed. Will you find fortune mining the mysterious mountain or awaken its many dangers? Discover gold-filled veins, grow your mining operations with new equipment, and invest in the town's businesses. With the right strategy and a dash of good old-fashioned luck, you may strike it rich," end quote. Sounds fun. Both games come out this spring and are not open for pre-orders yet. The Big Thunder Mountain game, I believe, is $29.99, and the Happiest Day game is also $29.99. I thought it was MSRP 24. So the Magic Kingdom Happiest Day game is $24.99.
I am so excited about this Big Thunder Mountain Railroad
Me
thing.
Too.
I don't know why, but it just sounds amazing. The cover art for the box too is really beautiful and features none other than our favorite Dynamite Chewin' goat is right there on the front too. So fun. So fun. But I like, it's cool because they made the artwork, took the attraction, like the iconic look of the attraction, but made it look more realistic, like it's a real mountain for this. Super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun.
So the Jungle Book game has
Cruise,
been
the jungle,
amazing.
The Jungle Cruise
game, amazing. Mm-hmm. Love it.
We haven't tried the Small World game.
No, but I've heard good things. Mm-hmm. And now Big Thunder.
I know.
I'm very excited.
I would like to see, can I please request Haunted Mansion or Pirates to be next?
Well, I feel like the way those have been represented is in existing games, but versions. So they have, they have a Haunted Mansion Clue. Which, because the building could be like that. And I want to say also that there was some other type of pirate thing. Of course, there's like probably a Pirates Monopoly because there's an everything Monopoly.
Actually, I need to take that back. There is a Haunted Mansion game. It's Disney Haunted Mansion Call of the Spirits game. I am a terrible Haunted Mansion fan. Because all of a sudden I said that and I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like I might, I think I own this game. I haven't played it yet, clearly, since I forgot that it even existed. But yes, there is a Haunted Mansion game. Also,
how have you not played this if you had it?
Time.
When did you get it?
I don't remember when I got it. I may have gotten it for like a, I don't remember.
We should get a game night together.
Maybe
and play
I don't.
This.
I don't remember if I actually have it or if I just put it like on my Amazon wish list because my family, like for holidays, are always like, "What do you want for Christmas?" or "What do you want for the, what do you want for birthday?" Whatever. So I started an Amazon wish list. So the things that I would normally just like impulse buy myself, I'm like, put it on the list.
That's a good
idea.
Put
it on the list. So I don't. I we'll have to check when we're done recording. We'll have to see if it's in my pile of games or
yeah.
not.
I feel like we would have played this if you had it, though.
I would have.
Because we've had game nights and it's never come up. Unless you got it this year.
Me? I don't know.
But I don't think I heard
you
talk about this.
I know I own the Hocus Pocus game. I did buy myself the Hocus Pocus game. That one's fun.
This looks cool.
Maybe I didn't buy it. It's just maybe it's just still sitting on my wish list waiting for someone to buy it.
Well, here. Do you have your wish list? Because if I look at it and somebody bought it, it won't be on your list anymore.
Well, but if I bought it for myself, it would still be on my wish list. Oh. I would have taken it off. We'll just check when we get downstairs.
Sure.
Psst. Avast there.
Sure, you come to the proper place. But keep a weather eye open, mates. And hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead. And James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight?
Pretty good so far.
We'll yeah. see.
All right. Well, we are diving straight into some listener-submitted questions. And looking at these, I think that the listeners were being pretty nice to you with these.
Well, thank you, listeners. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we will see how you do. Your first listener-submitted question of this evening, submitted by listener Donna S., whose voice in the Haunted Mansion is trying to get out of the coffin?
Like, who... Can I ask for a
clarification?
Like, who is
your
voice?
You're riding along in your doom buggy.
Who's the voice or who's the like the character?
Who voices the character that is trying to get out of the coffin?
Oh.
Let me out! Let me out of here!
Yeah, right? That guy.
Yeah.
I haven't the foggiest idea.
I'm going to say it's... Is it X?
Tag the foggiest idea because you're in the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, did it, I'm very
think,
good at
I
doing those
I think I'm
going
to say X and Tensio.
You think so?
I feel like it's going to be an Imagineer. Maybe Rolly Crump.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, Vern. I have a Zippo for that
Dang
one.
Dang it. I'm going to... Can I have a X or Rolly?
No. Do you want me to say Rolly and then one of us will be right if you...
No, because I'm going to be... Then if I would have been right either way, but maybe not really. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's Bob Gurr. I feel like it's an Imagineer.
It's not Bob Gurr.
I feel like it's an Imagineer that worked on the attraction.
It's not Bob
Gurr. Is what
Gurr.
I think it is.
Okay.
But
so
I don't
are you
know
sticking
who.
With X?
Yeah, I'm going to say X. I
okay.
Think. What you,
I don't
do
have
you
an answer.
Say Rolly?
Sure. So I'll say Rolly Crump. Teresa says X and Tizio.
But Teresa gets it right either way. If it's one of those two.
Are those your final answers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Your second question from listener Michelle. The restrooms that are located closest to the castle, what are the stall doors painted as?
Playing cards.
Yes, they're cards. I love them. They're Alice in Wonderland themed.
I love that bathroom for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And by closest to the castle, you mean part of the castle. Yeah.
I read them as they send them.
Sure.
Your third question from listener Keith N. What ingredient is used in the paint used on the coral and rock work in the Finding Nemo submarine voyage to protect it from the California sun?
It's glass, like shards of glass, which is great because I didn't put this in the news, but the submarine voyage should be opening soon because they've like removed a lot of their stuff from in there and they should be filling it up anytime now, hopefully.
Yep. It looks like it. There's still a little bit of stuff, but the coral's back in place.
There is questions on whether the refurbishment used the same glass technique or if they used regular paint this time.
I feel like they would have to have used the glass, but we'll see.
Yeah.
The other cool thing about the glass is it, like, reflects light.
Too. Oh, yeah, it shimmers and stuff, yeah.
And your fourth regular round question from listener Whitney N. While Donald Duck has three nephews named Huey, Dewey, and Louie, what are the names of Daisy Duck's nieces?
Oh, goodness, I have no idea.
That's definitely our stumper.
I didn't even know that she had nieces.
I don't think I knew she had nieces either. I bet you it's probably like, let me think. I bet you it's H, D, and L, so maybe we'll say Lucy.
This is another Zippo for me.
Yeah. I don't know. My one guess is Lucy.
Just Lucy.
My sad little guess. And a D and an H. Donna. And
Louise.
Oh, Louise would have been good. I already said Lucy, though.
Oh, Lucy. Lucy, H. Donna, and Hermione.
Helga.
Helga. I feel like these are all like older names. Anyway.
Is that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
And I said nothing.
It's my random final answer, yes.
Okay. And your bonus question tonight, submitted by listener Christopher K. What attraction has a basketball court inside it?
Oh, the Matterhorn. Which, inside the attraction, they went up with Bob Gurr, and he got to actually sign something up there because he had not signed up there. So
yeah, so Tig's talking about the Imagineering story, episode one. They talk about the basketball court, and they take Bob Gurr's talking about the Matterhorn because, of course, he had a big hand in designing the Matterhorn roller coaster. And so they take him up, and he's shown off the basketball court. And yes, it's very cute. He signed the door.
Good for him.
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around till after the discussion topic, and we'll all find out together.
This week for our discussion topic, we finish our conversation with Debbie and Steve from Designer Park Company. Enjoy.
So yeah. the question that you brought up, Teresa, of, you know, how do we get it in the park? How do you do it? How do you make this all work? We have a long history of trying to figure that out. How do we get everything in that we want to take into the park, still enjoy our trip, but not feel like we're carrying 15 pounds of extra stuff
garbage
in our bag? So Debbie can share a little bit about our history with packing all this into the park.
Yeah. So we started taking like a regular backpack and a water bottle into the park. And Steve and I don't know if the water is better now than it used to be, but it used to be so bad at Disneyland that it tasted so gross when you'd refill your water bottle. It was like the recycled water from Splash Mountain you were drinking or something. Like,
I think it's the old pipes.
It was, but it doesn't taste like that anymore. I don't know. Do you guys still
I think it's better. Nope, I think it's better.
It depends on where. I feel like if you, like, I feel like in the older parts of the park, like on Main Street or sometimes in like New Orleans Square, if you get a water fountain near there, I feel like it still has that like really like coppery metal kind of flavor that I don't like.
Yeah.
But if you do something like Galaxy's Edge where they have like the bottle filler, I feel like that just tastes like fine.
Oh, absolutely.
And we like to go into the Plaza Inn and refill our water at their fountain machines because we're like sneaky like that. But so
I think that's filtered.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, absolutely.
So cold and you can get ice. Anyway, so we go. So we started bringing a water bottle, just regular water bottles, and we would take Crystal Light packets and we would split it between the two of us because it was too strong for one packet for us for some reason, but it cut the taste so we could handle the water at Disneyland. And then people would think, they kept stopping us and asking us, what are you doing? It was when they were brand new, like to life, to those little packets of flavoring.
Oh,
so then we were like, we did that for a few years. And then we found a hydration bag at Costco one time. And we said
like
to each other,
like a camelback,
We said, this would be so cool at the parks. We don't have to carry a water bottle. And we are not hiking people. We live in Utah where it is, there's lots of hiking, but we are not those people. But we thought this would be great for the park. So we bought it and started taking it to Disneyland and it fit on all the rides and
it fit.
It was cool.
A lot of treats, a lot of things that we would pack in. You know, we would split it up between us. This was before we had kids. And so we were able to split a lot of the treats, a lot of the things that we'd want to bring into the park with us because you wouldn't bring the whole pack of Tums. You would bring, you know, a little square of them, or what, you know, little cylinder of them. And you'd bring in little things or break up your treats for your days and add that water in. And 2 liters of water is probably the most heavy part of what you were so carrying heavy. At that time.
Yeah, it's so heavy. And refilling a camelback became like the thing I hated the most in the whole world. Because it's like you're holding this baby with no bones or something, this like floppy thing.
Yeah.
And you're carrying this like bottle, this bag of water out of your bag, and trying to put it back in was so hard because it, I don't know, it drove me crazy every time I had to fill it up. So we would buy jugs of water at the store and fill up our bags at the hotel room before we left, and then try to only fill up one time at the parks. It was, I don't know.
You also have to remember that we usually drive because we're about 10 hours from Disneyland. Now, with people that are flying, that's a completely different story about what treats they're going to bring into the park.
Yeah.
Because you can't bring all of that with you on the plane. You can't bring gallons of water with you.
Yeah. You can't do that. Yeah, definitely not. So we did that for many years, and then we had our kids, and we started taking them to the parks when they were very little, and we would just carry stuff in our bags for them. And that just was how we did it. And then by accident, we took our daughter and our son when she's our youngest and she was about 2. And we went to the parks and we got to the parking structure, and we realized our stroller had a flat tire. And we were like, dang it, can't take this in. And it was one of those jogging strollers that you really needed to fill up the tires. And so we thought, okay, let's try the park today without a stroller and see what happens. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? We have to go back to the car and figure out how to fill this thing up with air. So we did it, and the whole day was fine. We made it work. And we were like, we never would have taken that chance if we weren't forced to take that chance. And so we started having our kids walk. And the next time we went, we gave them their own little mini camelbacks. So we found kid-sized ones, and we got them for both of our kids, and we started filling their bags with treats
and water.
And we had to limit our son's water because he would drink all of it very fast. And, but you
it's
know,
easy to do with that like long straw right there.
Yeah.
You've got the daughter who pregames on the tram, the son who's sucking down all the water.
Yeah. They are total opposites in every way. They always have been. So, anyway, we started doing that with them. And then over time, I never liked the look of a camelback. I was never a fan of the very outdoorsy hiking appearance of it. And so I found they started selling patches at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And so I bought some patches, and I stuck those on, and I sewed them onto my backpack. And I'm like, okay, I had this bright blue backpack, and I made it all Fantasyland. And I was like, I love Fantasyland. I love Glockenspiel, the clock on Small World. And so I had that on my bag, and I was very like, I'm decorating it, it's going to be fine. And then people started stopping us all the time to ask us where we got our bags all the time, because they never saw someone with a hydration bag. They were like, that is the smartest thing I've ever seen. And they would stop us everywhere. And we were kind of like, really, is it that smart? It's just a bag. And also our bag had a little clip that allowed me to hold my mini ears on my bag. Mm. So that was something people were like flabbergasted about.
And the material allows you to add things like pins and things that can kind of personalize your bag, as Debbie was saying, because we wanted to wanted to individualize our bags and make them a little bit more fun. So when we're in the park, we were able to drink and stay hydrated, but then also make them our own.
Yeah. So we added patches to our kids' bags
and pins.
And when we were at Disney World, people were like, have you been to Disneyland? Oh, you guys have been to Avengers Campus? Because we had like patches from Avengers Campus. And it was a fun conversation piece. But the more times we took the bags and had people stopping us and telling us how much they liked it, the more we realized that we had this thing that people didn't have and they didn't know about, and that it was something that was needed for all people. And then I started thinking about how could I make a bag that didn't look like I was camping and hiking, that would allow me to stay hydrated. And then I found this like thing that you can attach to a water bottle instead of a bladder that would allow you to have hydration from a water bottle and not this like floppy big bladder. And Steve had a bladder break at Disney World and leaked over his bag. So he had to order one from Amazon, and then they didn't deliver it to our hotel. They delivered it somewhere else, and he had to cancel it. It was a whole thing. And I was like, this doesn't have to be this hard. You know, we could just use a water bottle is not going to puncture and start leaking all over your bag. It's just not. Right. It's thicker. So when I found that hydration kit thing, I was like, this is what I need. I'm going to use this to make my bag. And we'd talked about it for years, right, Steve? Like,
yep. Many, many years we've talked about what can we do to make this so that others can enjoy, but mainly for us, what can we do to enjoy going to the park, but not feeling like we are camping and hiking
all
day long.
Yeah. So we came back from our Disney World trip in October and we just started thinking about it a lot more seriously. And I went online and asked in a lot of Facebook groups, like, what would you want to have if it was the perfect park bag? And I got a lot of responses from people. And then I just started sketching what I think would look cute and writing down the list of things I thought were needed. And then we came up with the bag we have now. So that's just
which is introducing the rope drop. That's
the rope drop. We call it the rope drop. We have a lot of Easter eggs on our website to Disney.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's really incredible that, you know, through your experiences and through like your observations.
Hey, you Google, cancel. Sorry.
No, you're fine. That through your experience and through your observations that you guys took the step to like not only be like, hey, you know, there should be one of the, you know, someone should do this. And you just, you did it. So, I mean, how incredible. I wouldn't even know where to begin on like everyone has ideas, right?
That but is like all Debbie. I don't know.
That's amazing. That really is amazing though. And we're looking at the website right now for Weekly Tears that are interested in the park bag. It's designerparkco.com. The website is live, the bags are there, and they're
link in our show notes as well.
Gorgeous. They're really beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're in a pre-order status right now. You can see the bags on our website, and Debbie will talk about the features of our product and what we offer. But these backpacks came from people who love the parks and know the parks and want to experience the parks in a way that is economical, but you can still look nice as you're walking around the park.
Yeah. And we wanted them to have kind of a classic style so that you could wear them for years to come and it wouldn't look outdated and it wouldn't look like you're trying to be too trendy, honestly. But also something kind of like a blank canvas that you could customize for yourself. So everyone can show their own individuality instead of having like a lounge fly that looks like everybody else's lounge fly out there. But also like I owe no shade to lounge fly for everyone. I don't want to get like them to find me online and give me hate because I have a bunch of lounge flies.
They're
cute. So cute, but I don't think they function well for a day in the park if you're going to go all day. That's my own opinion. Yeah. I don't think they're big enough to hold all the things you want them to hold. And that's just me. But so I made our bag a mini backpack, but it's also bigger than a lounge fly is. So it does have, and it has
quite a bit bigger
pockets and stuff. Yeah. We put a strap on the bag that's adjustable that you can use to hold your Minnie Mouse ears or mouse ears. That. If you're a man, you can put regular ears too. You don't have to have Minnie Mouse ears.
Question for that. Can you put a base, like, can you put a baseball cap in it?
No, I need to try. Well, I think you could through the if it snaps in the back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, sure.
You could
sure,
do
sure.
that. Yeah. If it doesn't snap that in the makes back, sense. Probably so could, not.
Like hold these guys.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. Yeah. Totally. You could do that. And it would stay on your bag, I think, better than one of those ear holder things that people are using just because I wanted them to be secure to the bag so they weren't flopping around because when you get on and off a ride, there's a lot of movement there. And also, I got one of those lounge flies that had the little ears, the little Minnie Mouse ear headbands all over it. My husband bought me one of those. But the way that you attach the ears is you take two strips of like fabric and you snap it underneath the bow. On the headband. And the problem is a lot of ears have like something across that goes across the whole way. And it just doesn't fit through that area. So I was like, let's just go over the middle of the bow, like the middle of the headband instead. And it also adjusts. So if you have a pair that's not homemade, but made from someone on Etsy that seems to be a little fluffy, they are kind of big nowadays. It gets quite large to cover the whole middle of that bow.
That's awesome.
There.
The other thing about this front of the bag and the strap is that the ears actually go inside the front pocket.
I love
that. They're not flipping around. They're very secure on the front of your bag.
Yeah. So we had a pocket made that they slide into. And then the front of that pocket has like laser drilled holes. And I had to measure one of my pins to make sure I got the exact diameter of those holes, which is one millimeter. So they're super tiny. And then they drilled like a pattern on the front. So you can take your pins and you can put them on your bag. Mm-hmm. The pocket opens up a little bit so you can access the backs of your pins. But it allows you to put them on your bag and move them around, because sometimes you might decide you want to change out of them.
Yeah.
And you don't need to destroy the fabric there to do that. So you can really take them on and off and move them all around however you want. And then we also, I found some locking pin backs, and we're including 10 locking pin backs with every backpack, because we want people to use their pins and not have to feel like they're afraid they're going to fall off.
Locking pin backs.
Those are my favorite changers. Things ever. Yeah. I'm like,
such game changers.
So I have a functional question about the locking pin backs. How do these locking pin backs work? They look super neat.
So you just pull the top of it. It comes, that's how it comes off. So it's like the top of it kind of is like a spring or something.
Yeah. There's a little spring in it.
Oh, because I was looking at it on your shop and I was like, these things look really cool. But I know like the Disney ones, they have like the little, you have to have the tool and all that.
You're not going to have the tool. You're not going to think to bring that with you, and you're going to lose it, and your kid's going to lose it. And it's just,
These are super cool.
Yeah. We've been using them, and we've gone to the parks with our bags for, I don't know, like over a year now, on and off all the rides for us and our kids, and never lost a pin. So they totally work. Yeah. So we just wanted to include that. And we also sell pin backs on our website, but you can get them on Amazon. You can get them anywhere. We're not like trying to become pin back sellers. But if you need them and you want to include them, great, go for it. But what else? The bag on the inside, there's like a phone pocket and another pocket that's a little smaller than a phone pocket that would be good for your power bank or chapstick or something little that you want to slip in there. In that pocket. And you can also fit a full size set of ears in that pocket as well.
In the front pocket,
right behind the strap. So there's like
ears for days. I love it.
So yeah, you could wear one on your head. You could put one on the front strap, and then you could put one in that pocket. And then you
don't tempt
them.
Teresa, please.
I mean, just for all the pictures you want to take, and you don't want to, if you want to maximize your ear storage, there you go.
What's nice is this way you could wear a pair to the park on the day that you want to buy another pair.
There you go.
And then because there was that whole day that you didn't wear ears.
There was like two whole days.
You were looking for a pair.
I was looking for a specific pair to wear, and my head was naked. Mm-hmm. And it felt weird to be in Disneyland without ears. We did a meetup without ears. That was really weird.
Yeah. You're like, I am me. I'm just not wearing ears. Yeah. Sorry. Because sometimes you have a certain pair you want and you can't find it. You're looking at all the different shops trying to find it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I get you, girl. I get it. I looked for one pair for the whole trip and I kept asking everywhere. And Steve's like rolling his eyes. Really? Okay.
We had to buy from Shop Disney later. They just had a million of them like two days ago.
Right. Like, the thing chat said they'd be here.
Yeah. Right. Where are they? The thing that I really love, because the thing I struggle with now with my current bag that I use one of the Loungefly canvas bag, so it's the bigger version and it fits more stuff, so that's why I like it, and it's durable. But the thing that's hard is ears, because whenever I get off like onto a ride, I have to try and like shove my ears into them, which it'll work, but I usually end up having to like put my ears, this is gonna sound like I'm a total germaphobe, but I don't like putting them in the pocket. I don't know why.
Use it. That Velcro grab onto your ears and rip them apart.
There's that too. That I'm like worried about that, but I'm also like, there are so many people that are putting things in and out of this pocket. I don't really want my ears in there too. So I may sound like a germaphobe. That's fine. And I have an irrational fear of leaving them in the pocket.
I was with a friend who left her sunglasses on Space Mountain, and that was so fun to get those back. So
That's the other thing too. I just have this weird like germy thing about the pocket, and I have a fear that I'm going to lose it.
Well, it looks good about this bag, though, with the pockets and everything, is one of the problems that you had a lot was stuff would fall into the bottom. And this has like nice little pockets and stuff, so you could put that stuff that kept falling to the bottom.
I could put my press pennies and my trading pins.
Would take her bag and she'd be like, "Can you hold this? Can you hold this? Can you hold this?" And she's like digging, because everything she wanted was always at the bottom.
Yep.
Well, and the press penny book's good to have in one of the elastic pockets in the back pocket, because you're going to get to it a lot, and it's just always right there organized, like waiting for you. So you can just pull in and out a lot. And it's
there you go. That will be my press penny / pin trader, like my trader.
I know you talked about this. I was looking at this while you were talking about it, but I want to come back because you were very excited. I didn't want to stop you. This idea of having the small pocket with the holes in it is brilliant, because if you have something like a lounge fly, or like this is like, this looks like it's like nice material. I would not want to stick a pin through it.
No.
But this is amazing, because it's already got the holes there, so it'll fit so much easier, because sometimes you're like pushing, I don't know.
And it lines them up perfectly too, so they can look really nicely laid out when you're putting them on too. Yeah, it's really fun. And I know there are some bags out there, I think Disney has one, where they've got holes in the bag, but the bag itself is very boring looking. It's just like a bag. There's nothing to
it. Well, the other thing I've seen...
So I wanted to combine things.
Yeah, the other thing I've seen too with some of those bags is they... Which I understand, they have like a plastic thing over it. So then your pins are protected. But I've seen a lot of times where there's... People get like condensation from like moisture buildup in there too.
Or it gets dirty and they don't wipe it off. It's
like and they just don't look as good.
It just
They're very small bags. The one function of those bags is basically just to show your pins off.
Yeah. So and they hold really tight to the bag. Like, they don't flop around. They literally, like, sit right very tight to the bag.
Awesome.
So, Teresa, I was going to point out, you mentioned earlier that you know, taking your ears off for a ride is kind of a tricky thing, and you don't have a place to put them. The nice thing about our bag is, yes, you can strap them in, but you can also just drop them into the pocket in the front.
Just for the ride.
So they'll stay in there, and then you can easily pull them right out after.
Uh-huh. What didn't you guys think about?
It's honestly like...
Well, we're not even to the best part.
I know.
Oh, no.
But wait, there's more.
So there's two side pockets on the side of the bag, which you can put like your sunglass case, your phone, whatever. An umbrella, it fits that. You can put a water bottle there if you want, like one of those smaller, like Kirtland signature, like a small crystal geyser. I don't know.
I feel like you're advertising Costco a lot here.
I know. I'm sorry.
I only notice it because I miss Costco. Our nearest Costco is like an hour away.
Every time I look at houses, I'm like, where's the nearest Costco? I just have a problem. He knows.
Priorities.
So we have like these two side pockets, and then the back pocket has the two elastic like pockets to hold water bottles, and it can hold a 1 liter water bottle, which for me, I would just take a 1 liter. That's the biggest I would take, and then just refill it, because carrying 2 liters on your back gets really wearing throughout the day. And that was the hardest part about the trip, was I wanted to drink all my water just so it would get lighter on my back. I was just like, get this thing off my back. And then taking it on and off the rides is kind of hard when it's really heavy and kind of cumbersome.
Sure.
So we put a water bottle pocket on both sides, because we wanted people to be able to choose which side of the bag they use the hydration on.
And this is inside the main pocket.
Pocket. Yeah. And that back pocket can hold 4 spirit jerseys. That's how big that back pocket is.
Nobody can see this on the podcast, but Teresa's jaw just dropped.
It's just totally deceiving. But I did a reel on Instagram where I was just taking, I didn't want to load them in the bag on Instagram, but I just took them out and I was like, 1, 2, like, just how many do you think it will hold? It
Holy
shocked
cow.
Me. But so I made sure that all the pockets, by the way, have no zippers. So when you're going through security, you're not like unzipping all these different compartments.
Nice.
Because that was probably a big problem with the Camelbacks too. There are so many zipper compartments, and the Camelback material was really like a tent material, and it would get caught in the zippers. And it was like, we were all fighting with our bags at security, and it would drive my husband crazy. He's like, can you be faster? Because I'm already getting stopped because I've got Pandora bracelet on, or a bunch of Alex and Ani bracelets. And, you know, then my bag. And then we're trying to help kids unzip 100 pockets too. So.
And Steve's like, I'm just walking through. I don't have anything.
He's gone. I'm like, and then they're like, oh, she's got a bracelet. And I'm like, see, look. And I'm talking to the guy and he's like, stop.
And Steve's already inside buying breakfast or
like riding his Main Street vehicle down the castle.
He's gone. Yeah, the kids and I are like,
Steve, you and I should go together. We'll go. Teresa and Demi will just be chilling at the gate.
Yep.
Yeah. Talking
with all the people.
D23 to
Yeah, we should get up some rides. So also we wanted, so that hydration, we added that to the backpack. So we put a hole in the back with a grommet. So it's totally like finished off that you can fit the hydration tube through from the inside of the backpack. And if you don't want to use it, you don't have to use it. It's on the very back of your bag, so nobody sees it unless your bag's off, and it just looks like a finished little hole right there. Another cool feature of that hole is you can put your battery pack, your power bank in the one of those elastic compartments, and you can pull the cord out through that hole, and you can use your phone while it's charging in your bag, and it's really just a safe place to hold that. So
I like that you have the little straps on both sides to be able to put the water thing on either side too.
I'm like, what if somebody can't use their right arm or their left arm and they still want to be able to access it? And we also have a dominant arm that we always feature, right? That's our favorite. So I don't think the picture on there shows it, but there'll be an elastic strap kind of up towards the top of the bag and then also one towards the bottom so that we can hold it along the whole strap, like tighter to the bag. But the hydration thing we have also has a clip that holds the bite valve to the strap at the very bottom of the bag. So you can pull it off that clip. It's held with a magnet and you can pull it to your mouth and drink from it. And then when you're done, you put it near that magnet and just holds it, snaps it right back into place.
Magnets are amazing for stuff
It's a really strong magnet. It's funny because when I bought the thing to try it out, it's like, this has a strong magnet. Like there was this warning on there, like, be careful. It's a magnet.
The reason that we wanted to do this is because we feel that it's really important that you stay hydrated in the park. So because of that, we have decided that we will include what we call the Schweitzer Hydration Kit.
Yes, Schweitzer. We couldn't use the backside of water. We wanted to use the backside of water because it's water on your backside. I mean, it's just like perfect.
or Dr. Falls. We thought of Dr. Falls too. But the Schweitzer Hydration Kit is what we came up with. And we are including it with the bag, with your 10 locking backs for your pins. And we decided to sell it with it because that is the purpose of our bag.
Oh, yeah.
It's to stay hydrated. We think it's fashionable, but we also want to make sure that that key priority is covered, that you're able to do what you're, that'll keep you hydrated and happy in the park at all times.
So
that's awesome.
We were really about the hydration. Honestly, there's no hydration bag on the market in existence that isn't a hiking backpack, that is just a fashionable, you know, backpack, but ours supports your active lifestyle while also being fashionable. So it's a kind of a different approach to all of that. And then, Teresa, we were talking earlier about that net that I was telling you guys about. So the
oops, I bought too much stuff net or don't need my jacket anymore net. Yes.
Yes. The oops, I want that hoodie, but I can't wear it right now net. It's so funny because our Camelback that we had been using had a net that I could pull up across the front of the bag and clip up to the top.
Oh yeah.
It went over the whole front of the bag and I would put my sweatshirt there, but I didn't want to put a net over the front of your bag, which you're fashioning with your pins and your ears.
That's
the look. Like you don't want to cover up your look with your sweatshirt. So I was like, let's put it on the bottom. And then we went through a lot of trial and error with the people at the manufacturer in China who didn't quite understand my weird vision. So, cause nobody's ever told them to put a hole in a bag and add a zipper and put a net in it.
So
we definitely like confuse them. But so what we have is a net that we have in a little hidden pocket in the back of your bag. And it is a lined pocket that's lined just like the bag is. And then the net comes out and we've got these two little spring clips that you can clip the little elastic bands to.
I love that.
Yeah. And so you can take it out when you need it, put it away when you don't. It's just like a hidden
secret. Just gives you some extra storage.
It's the whoopsie daisy net. So yeah.
Your safety net, if you will.
It's your safety net. Oh, there you go. I should have called you when I was writing all this.
I, you know, that to me, that like stupid little extra, like just that little extra just speaks volumes to me, because when we were just there in December, that was my first time being to California in December. So the the whole weird like swings and temperatures was just weird. So I'm trying to remember. I think sometimes I was able to get my sweatshirt to fit in my own bag, but a lot of the times it ended up in his bag, so I'm sure he would have been much...
That's because you had your water bottle that was always in there. And...
Yep, all my stuff, yes, yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, so sometime it would have been nice to have my little safety net, mm-hmm. so then I could have taken care of myself and not had to rely on your backpack having space.
They do fit, the net does fit two tennis shoe size 12 shoes in it.
Women's 12, so it's not a man's.
but it is nice to be able to have that little extra storage that also holds one of the gauntlet arms that hold the Coke bottles.
I just had to try that
because I was like, every parent is like, oh, I bought this really cool thing for all the pictures at Avengers Campus, and then they're like, what do I do now?
And it still hits high enough on your back that it doesn't hit your rear end. It doesn't
or your legs
or your legs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The thing that we're offering right now with our pre-sale is it's $10 off. And as we mentioned, it does come with the Schweitzer hydration kit and the 10 free locking backs. Mm-hmm. And those can be purchased on our website. We feel really strongly about this bag. It's not something that we're out to make $1 million. We did it because we love the parks and we love to have some functionality within our experiences there.
You were looking for the perfect bag and you couldn't find one, so you created it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's that's really amazing. That's really cool.
Future lines, we've got many ideas of what we're going to be doing for the mm-hmm. future. Won't share too
men's
much
version.
Well, yeah, we're going to do a men's version
next.
Yeah, with a coated canvas, so it's like water resistant, and it's going to have leather accents to it. Also, like some really
cool stuff. Everything is made of vegan leather. So
yeah, we use vegan leather because it's better on the environment, but also because it's tougher and more resilient to water and stress than real leather is. It just real leather doesn't do well with water.
No,
I don't want people to get a bag and then nice bag and then ruin it.
Plus, we want our bags to be, while they might look expensive when you look at them or look expensive on our site, we want to make sure that people understand this is a bag that we anticipate you'll have for many years to come mm-hmm. while you're actually in the park and able to express yourself. And we got some great ideas coming for Universal Parks and mm-hmm. other theme park experiences down the line. But we wanted to get this one out and going because we feel really strongly about the importance of having this in the park.
And frankly, we weren't sure how many of each color to order. And I wanted to offer four colors. So we are doing a pre-sale because we had no idea. And we're like, if people just buy what they want, I can order what they want. And then we'll have an idea of what sells.
No, that's, yeah.
I was like, I don't even know what to do here. But mm-hmm. we kept our logo completely off the front of the bag because we didn't want people to have that competing with their style and their design. So we put it on one of the side pockets. There's a metal logo. Our Designer Park logo is on the side. And we called it Designer Park Company because we just wanted to say, like, this is a nice bag, like a designer bag. But it's also just a park company. Like, it's very generic. So when we do bags for Universal and other things, it's just kind of goes mm-hmm. everywhere.
Well, it's also a lot easier than like we've had to deal with, which is you're not using anybody's name or
whatever. Don't want to be anywhere near Disney. We love you. We will worship you till the day we die, but we are not going to take any of your stuff mm-hmm. and try to make it. Yeah. So we have a polka dot one and that's about as close to Disney as we have. But
yeah, I will tell you though, I'm looking at your Instagram right now and it looks like since you started this Instagram, it's kind of shown the process of mm-hmm. making the bags. Like your like second post is like this cool styrofoam kind of thing. It looks like it's trying to get the idea of the sizing and everything.
The manufacturer made a paper model of the shell of the bag for me.
That's cool.
That was the first one they made. The second one was more detailed and it was a better looking one. But my sister-in-law called me up and sent us a message and she's like, stop sharing that. Someone's going to steal your idea. And I'm like, I want people to see the process because it's so cool.
Yeah.
And they send me a picture of my bag looking like literally like tire, like a slice. It was like sliced in half. You would never know backpacks are made like this way. And you would, it's like rings that they were connecting. It was blowing my mind. So I just think that fascinates me, all that stuff.
Yeah. But, well, and I'm looking like I said, the whole process. You have another post about showing the back pocket mm-hmm, with all the holes mm-hmm. in it.
Yeah.
You have some stuff that's showing some key details. You have the Designer Park Company thing that you have that sticks on the side, but separate.
The logo plate. Yeah.
So I don't know. I like I love learning about stuff. I'm like one of your kids, right? Like, want to know how it works. But this is kind of neat because I think a lot of people don't know how much work goes into these things. You know, even you know, Disney goes through all this stuff too, and Loungefly for all this stuff they make. So people think like, oh, they can just make a thing and pump out a million of them. But I'm sure this is way off, but I'm sure that you've realized, because you're working with people like in China and stuff and manufacturing, that it's really challenging and difficult to get a physical thing made like this that's custom. You know, it's easy to get a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or something with a printed logo or something on it, but something like this that has you know, a distinct shape, distinct features, it's challenging, I'm sure.
And they have to work perfectly or they don't work at all. So the first sample they sent me had a ton of problems with it, and we were like, okay, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. And then we ordered, the other two were being made, our brown one and our polka dot one. And then they corrected it there, but we would never have known if we had ordered this like sample bag to have been made and sent to us. And so there's a lot of back and forth where you're trying to test things out and see how well it works. And then I was worried, I'm like, I better get some pins on this and make sure they fit through the holes, that I got the right size and all that stuff. So there's a lot of back and forth and trying to design all that. But we really feel strongly that like our company is just us and we're park goers. We're not some big wig fat cat guy sitting up in an office with a bottom line, like going through a list of parts thinking, what can I chop off so I can, my bottom line can be less. So it's not about using the cheapest materials and getting, you know, for me, it was about using the right materials so it would last. Mm-hmm. And so I actually used the most expensive vegan leather I could use. And I like, cause I'm kind of extra like that. But, so I took the price they gave me for one backpack and then I added like so many things that it almost doubled the price of the backpack. But I was like, I need like metal zippers. They wanted to use nylon zippers. It was just really important for me to have the right quality materials in there. And then I had so much fun picking out the linings of the bags, and the brown bag has like a turquoisey blue like net to match the bright blue lining that it has. And it was just really fun to kind of mess around with colors. And I don't know.
But you know what, though? You know, I look at it like this. You know, I'm an Apple fan. Okay. So some people don't get it. People don't understand the Apple situation. But one of the reasons I like it is, sure, I pay a little more, but like it lasts a little bit longer. I like the look of it better, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like, and Disneyland's kind of like that, right? Like you pay a little bit of a premium because you're getting like a better product, you know, generally. So this backpack, I feel like you're absolutely right. Put the good work materials in there. Price it. I think it's actually a pretty good price. Even without the discount, the normal price, $89.99, that's a pretty good deal if you're talking about this really good quality stuff and all the design that went into it and everything. I think that that's a deal, actually. Honestly, you know, after you've explained the whole bag and then I've seen the price, I'm not somebody who likes to spend a lot of money on things like a bag, but I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, actually, I think that's a pretty good value.
Considering and all the things that it does.
It's so weird because these backpacks are such a shape that you kind of have to keep them in shape. You can't smash it down and shove a bunch in a box. Like they have to be sent all packed with all that stuff.
So
it actually cost me like double to ship them from China to here. Like it cost me more to ship them from China to here than to make the bag.
Well, and you guys have been shipping this during COVID, right? Post-COVID. I've been watching a lot of videos on that. The shipping people are like gouging everybody.
It's very expensive.
It's gone up so much. And that's part of what we're seeing with the inflation in our country is the shipping prices of everything being imported. But things I would never have known if I hadn't like contacted freight forwarders and, you know, all the things. So
supply chain. Who'd have thought you'd be in a whole supply chain situation?
I know. Never would have dreamed.
So as I mentioned, these items are on pre-sale right now. We anticipate them to be in the customer's hands sometime in May.
That's what we
have to submit the order and we have to have them make the bags, and then shipping will take some time, and then for us to ship them to the customers. We know that time frame is really tough, and we know a lot of people are headed to the park in the springtime,
but it's just right before the busy summer season.
Exactly.
Everyone, once we put these out to our friends, they're like, I'm going next week, can I get one? And we're like, stop right now.
I would love to, however.
We had a huge list of people that are like, I'm gonna be going and I need this. Sorry.
So how long is the pre-sale going for?
We're thinking till probably about the end of February.
Okay.
Then we'll probably cut it off. But we have a certain amount of bags we'd like to sell so that we can get a big order in. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then we'll start ordering more regularly to keep inventory on hand. But
what will most likely happen is that the items will still be available on our website, but they will be in a back order status.
Sure.
The items will most likely go into back order. And at that point, once we have the items in, we can determine if we'll have enough from this pre-sale to deliver to those that didn't make the pre-sale.
Yeah, so. But that price will go up $10 and it won't be on sale anymore. Mm-hmm. We're kind of thought we'd lower the price for those that have, it's like giving a little extra break to the people for waiting and taking the patients to, and it's not a lot we know, but we don't have a huge profit margin to make it so cheap. But it's like we're running our own Kickstarter campaign kind of, you know, where you kind of have to wait for them to produce it. And without using Kickstarter, we kind of just thought we'd cut out the middleman and go for it for ourselves.
Because we truly believe in this product and we truly think that there is a market for it. Well, we know there's a market for it.
Yeah, we do. It's just me. It's just getting the name out there and letting people know that it's available and that it exists. Because we have zero followers on Instagram when we started 3 weeks ago or something like that. And we've just been trying to get the word out. But
and as
it's working,
said,
you got a lot.
Three weeks. We started real design and everything in the middle of December. So this has happened extremely fast, and faster than I had ever hoped it would have gone, because I'm a little bit more cautious than she is about that stuff.
That's incredible.
Pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting.
From mid-December though to a shipping product in May, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
like still in the customer's hands by in May.
I don't want to be sales pitchy at all.
I think your bag's going to sell itself. So
yeah, that's the plan.
That's the feedback that we're getting so far.
I think it's going to sell itself.
We had a friend come over who's in our neighborhood, who's a Disney influencer, and she came over with the hopes that she was going to prove that our bag sucks and that her launch flies better. And so she came
She just said she was very nice about it.
Yeah.
But you're like, I love my launch fly. There's no way this is better.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on in. I'll show you how my bag will eat your lounge fly. And so she set it down to see the size comparison. And then she started opening all the zippers and talking about all the things it can do. And she's like, never mind. I want your bag.
this tail between her legs, just dragging her lounge fly behind her.
She's like, now I'm going to use this bag. It's going to be so great. And then, so it's been really
fun.
Like,
for you, it's double price.
You're like, I know. You're like, because you were a disbeliever.
I know. Yeah. She's a good friend, but it's just funny how you kind of don't want to let the people that you know and like down. You don't want to be that person that's going to not support them, because you can't be not genuine. I would never want someone to buy something just because they felt like they had to.
Right.
From me. So
I'm
like, buy it because you want it and you really like it. Don't. Yeah. There's somebody else that will get it. I don't.
I guarantee you, from this podcast, I can think of one or two people right now in my head that when they hear this and see it, they're going to place an order for one of these.
I said to Steve today, I said, even if not one person buys our bag, but they like look at our website and they kind of get it in their mind, like from this podcast, if nothing happens, at least we've got your whole podcast we can put on our press section of our website and we can link more people back to their website and their podcast. I was like, we can teach more people about DL Weekly by them being on our press section.
I mean she's not just saying that, you guys. We have a serious love for your podcast. And
that's so
cool. And we are not like Patreons, because we've never done that, but you would be the podcast we would do Patreon and we would support in any way that we could.
Well, you just bought four pins, so that was helpful.
In the beginning of COVID, we heard your audio tour of Disneyland and I would listen to it in the car with the kids. And I said, Steve, we're going out. We're going to get Dole Whips. We're going to get pretzels. We're going to get churros. And we put our ears on. We drove around our town going up and down the roads that were like steeper and pretending like you're on roller coasters and singing to everything. And we took pictures and we put it, I think we tagged you guys on Instagram and you commented, Teresa, and you were like, that's awesome. But we're not joking. That episode was my daughter's favorite. I kept it downloaded all the time. I would listen to it and then it would disappear and I'd re-download it because it was something I could get her to listen to and she was going crazy. So.
People love that episode.
I love it so much.
It was amazing. you guys did such an awesome job of putting all the sounds
editing it
together and editing it and making it like
we need to we need to do a DCA one. The problem is finding
DCA sounds.
You know, we had Disney Chris on, and I got a lot of the music from Disney Chris's site, and but he's like, oh, maybe I'll do DCA at some point. And some people, Teresa, I think, found a website that has some stuff on it, but it's not as good. Like the reason I like the Disney Chris stuff is it's really good quality. He spends a lot of time on it. So I don't know. We got to do that
Disney
at some point.
Can they message Disney? Steve really loved the music from Soarin' from the inside of the building, like from the ride queue.
Oh.
So he emailed them and they told him a bunch of the songs.
They gave me the whole
queue,
playlist. Of
the whole
everything.
Playlist. And so he bought all the CDs. Like, this is back when people bought CDs, but you know, so he.
But it's different because that's their music.
Yeah,
that's the reason they.
Oh, you're talking about like the walking around.
Yeah,
music. Okay,
the queue music, the ride music. All
there's
that.
People though that
on YouTube can't you?
There's people though that go and they use inductive. I want to say inductive speakers, and what they do, it's I don't know how the technology works. It's amazing to me, but they'll attach a little device by one of the speakers, and it uses the vibrations. Mm-hmm. To get and you don't get people talking or crowd noise. Mm-hmm. It just uses the vibration of the sound, and they use these recorders, and that's how a lot of these things get out there that Disney doesn't like sell tracks or provide tracks for.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that I'm like, this is a technology that exists. Like, what?
Is it like that Jawbone thing that would like,
yeah,
it would like get from your, yeah, something along those lines.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Can we all just agree though that Disney has to put out another official album?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, yes. Mm-hmm.
The best thing Disney ever did, but I think it became a rights issue like it always is, right? Mm-hmm. Was they had those kiosks. I'm sure you remember. It was the Disneyland Forever kiosks, and they had all these tracks, and they'd add them a bunch, and you could make, they'd burn you a little CD, and you could get it, and a lot of music got out of the park that way. But some stuff never ended up on there because of rights issues and stuff, and that's part of the problem.
And, you know, I kind of think, like, I think you're right. I think Disney needs to monetize that, because this might be an unpopular opinion, but I do think that YouTube channels have grown in popularity for the parks just because of the ambiance part of it. Not necessarily, like, yes, we have good personalities too, but, like, sometimes I'm, like, I just keep watching, and I'm like, I don't really care what the people are doing or talking about, but it's just cool because I feel immersed in the Disney bubble, you know.
There's a guy
who there are good personalities, don't get me wrong, but I think everyone's drawn to it because of the it feels like you're in Disney again.
There's a guy on one of my podcasts who loves Star Wars and loves Disneyland. And he went to Disneyland with his wife, and they spent an entire Saturday, and he set up a camera and he recorded different scenes in Galaxy's Edge of just like his camera there and like watching it. So he's got 2 hour loops of the front of the Millennium Falcon and people just walking by and stuff like uncut. And you get just that, the noise and whatever. And like, it's so cool because you get the Millennium Falcon's neat because you get like those, the photo pass photographers. So you get all these families coming and it's like you're there. And then he got another shot from up on the thing, and he got a shot somewhere else. And I was like, this is kind of cool. Like that people do this.
So where is it again? If people are interested in purchasing one of your fabulous new bags, where can they go to find out more?
You will want to go to our website, and that's designerparkco.com. And you can find all the information there. It talks about what our bag is, where we came up with the idea, all the different descriptions for it and stuff like that. Yeah, that's where it
is. Do you have an Instagram too?
Oh, I do. Yes. And that's at designerparkco. Everything's designerparkco. We're actually designerparkco, but we thought company was too long of a word, so we used co. So you can call us either thing, that neither of them is wrong.
Perfect.
And that, and that's, you know, designerparkco.com, not designerpark.co.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for spending time with us this evening. And I'm excited to see what happens with your bags. Like I said, I know that there's going to be some people in our audience that are going to love these. Hopefully they'll be in that pre-order first batch. I might even order some of the pinbacks from you, if nothing else, because those things look sweet. Love the idea. When I'm going to keep an eye on this, because when you have a men's version, I also not that either any of these couldn't men couldn't wear them. They're kind of unisex, actually. But anyway,
Tag, what you want to do, is, for those that aren't ready to purchase yet, we do have an option on the main page of our website to subscribe. Oh. You want to provide your email address there. You will receive a confirmation email, so check your spam also once you've subscribed, because that will be the way that we will be able to communicate all our new products once they come out if you haven't placed an order yet.
Yeah, and we often do a sale that applies only to those subscribers where they get an extra discount. We did run a sale for 2 days where they got an extra $10 off their order. For the first, you know, people that supported us and subscribed in the beginning. So, and also we don't email very often because we just don't have time to. So you're really not going to see a ton of stuff from us, but you will know the basic things that are happening with our company. So yeah.
Subscribe.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, subscribe. Thank you. Or Instagram. Those are just make sure two ways.
And to your listeners, make sure you confirm your subscription because you will not receive additional emails.
Confirmed as well. I did both already.
Thank you.
I am on top of it.
It worked. That's great.
Isn't it great when technology works how it's supposed to?
Amazing.
It's hard when it doesn't.
All right. So if you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit. It could be any job. It could be real. Could be something you made up. What would you do?
I told Steve, we were talking about this, and I said, you know what? I want to be like a travel reporter for Disney, where I want them to send me on all their cruises, and I want to stay at all the resorts. I want to write do YouTube reviews about all the things. I want to try all the experiences. I want to go. Yeah. So that's what I want to do.
That sounds like all the places. Job.
So you want to be a Disney parks and experiences ambassador, like not just one park, but everything.
Right. Yeah. All the parks and like all the adventures by Disney. I want to do all the things and talk about it and, you know, review it. So that's.
See, I would have thought you would have gone for like merchandising or making bags or something, but no.
Oh, no.
I think that's fantastic. And I love that you kept Adventures by Disney in there because that's something that a lot of people forget about. But
bucket list.
Yeah. See, well, then the hard thing is choosing which adventure to go on because they all sound fantastic. Uh-huh. So, Steve, what would you do?
Well, I for years felt I would just go and sweep the streets. Like I would just go and be a janitor and sweep the streets. And then we saw a little kid that had been sick in the bathroom and realized I would have to clean up that too. Like, so I thought janitorial's not my place. Mm-hmm. So I actually would love to work in the show designs, but also doing the shows, like being part of Fantasmic, not being in it, but being part of the crew that works on Fantasmic. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, that's just that show is an incredible piece of my Disney story, and that would just be a dream.
You can go hang out with Murphy.
Yeah.
Yes. Before she has to go on stage, you can be best friends with Murphy.
Yeah. Yes. Or just ride the pyro or something.
Yeah.
Shoot off the fireworks.
Do you know what a cool job would be? And nobody I think ever thinks about this. They have people on the tops of the light towers that run the spotlights.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine seeing the show from that angle? Like that's such a so unique fun. Angle.
Yeah. I
that's
couldn't do it. I'd be dancing and singing the whole time.
The light would
this light tower is moving around.
Is like, I'm just thinking, seizures. Are you talking the light tower that we watch go into the ground?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, I don't know if I would go on top of that.
Nope.
I don't know if I could go up there. I would want to, but the spotlight wouldn't be moving because I would be frozen.
I want to like shadow the spotlight person. So I just want to stand next to them and watch the show.
I don't think it's that big up there.
It is. It's the whole top of the lighting rig.
Okay. That sounds a little better then.
Yeah. We can all dream, right?
That's a cool. I like the people that do the shows. I like their outfits. It's like a whole black thing with Disneyland. Uh-huh. Love it.
I remember listening. I remember listening to your podcast couple years ago where you had one person that was a friend of Mickey
as
Fantasmic.
Little
and
Taylor.
that was just so cool.
You may have seen her because she was like in the opening crew for Fantasmic even too.
Yeah. It was that first summer of 92. I was just blown away.
See? That's great. Plenty of room.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
That doesn't look nearly as scary as I thought it was. I thought it was like this little skinny thing.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought it was like the one like off to the side.
No.
that we watched go down that was, it looked like it was only like this big.
No, no, no.
The spotlight's pretty big. Yeah, you'd have to have some space to move that around.
Yeah, but I would be dancing and moving that spotlight. It wouldn't be shining on the right thing.
If Fantasmic's playing and we're walking past it, we are like, ah, la, like singing, dancing. We're like lunatics. We go crazy. It's the best.
It is.
Yeah. We have weekly tiers and I just don't understand them. That don't watch any of the shows or fireworks. They just are like, great time to ride attractions. And I'm like,
heck no.
Yeah.
No.
It is a great time to ride attractions. But
that's why you do 5 days, because you do like 3 days of Phantasmic and 2 days of doing attractions.
Right. Well, you leave after Phantasmic and then you go on rides because everyone's leaving. True. That's the time where we go on Pirates and we walk right on, or we take our kids to Thunder Mountain and we just go over and over again. And we're like, look at you guys, you did it all day. And they'll just walk around all day long till like midnight. And
or do it during the first Phantasmic. And then when Phantasmic's over, you get to sneak. Well, in the olden days, you could just sneak right in and get a front row seat. Now it's fast passy
stuff.
Do
it. It's,
We would watch the fireworks on Main Street and then we'd go see Phantasmic. And we'd wait till everyone left that restaurant. What is it?
Riverbell.
And we would sit there and normally we'd find a couple we didn't know and we'd sit with some strangers and we'd become best friends. And while we're waiting,
that's the best.
Show, it was the best.
That's so fun.
You know, I feel like people should be happier to talk to other guests at Disneyland because I'll tell you, every Disneyland fan that we talk to always will sit and talk. I mean, obviously, we've been recording 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Well, there was some confusion last week on our bonus question for trivia. The ad campaign was for both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. The answer Vern provided were the first person and last person in the overall campaign. However, the first person and last person to specifically say, I'm going to Disneyland, were Magic Johnson and Tom Brady.
However, now it's been updated. It's a good thing you asked this question last week,
right,
Vern, because now we have a new last person to have said, I'm going to Disneyland. Of course, it's our fresh Super Bowl winners, the Rams.
Now, let's go back to Trivia Land.
Well, welcome back to Trivia Land. How do you feel about tonight? Do you think you got all the right answers?
Well, considering that I said I don't have anything for two of them and stole one from Teresa for one of those, I don't feel great. But, you know, I like to think that Teresa's going to do well tonight.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, let's find out how you did. Your first one from listener Donna S. Whose voice is the voice of the one in the Haunted Mansion who's trying to get out of the coffin? Your guesses were Exintensio and Rolly Crump. And the correct answer that we were looking for was Exintensio.
Woo, Teresa. For those of you listening, that was Teresa giving herself a high five.
Yes, yes, it was.
We still have to get a version of that to use in the chat.
We need to make
a
video of that.
Here's second question from listener Michelle. The restrooms that are located closest to the castle and or part of the castle, what are the stall doors painted as? The correct answer that we were looking for was playing cards.
Woo!
Both of you getting that correct.
Woo!
Such a great
in honor of
bathroom.
The Alice in Wonderland ride that is very nearby.
Yeah, those bathrooms are awesome. And, like, it seems so obvious that you would paint them like playing cards, because that's kind of the shape. But I don't know if I would have, like, thought to theme the bathroom that way. So, super cool. Isn't the tile work in there, too, also? Like,
it's got
diamonds and stuff?
Yep,
yeah.
It's got the suits. Mm-hmm.
Your third question, submitted by listener Keith N. What ingredient is used in the paint used on the coral and rock work in the Finding Nemo submarine voyage to protect it from the California sun? The correct answer that we were looking for was crushed glass.
Yay.
Both of you getting that one correct as well.
Good job, Tag. And Teresa.
Your fourth regular round question, submitted by listener Whitney N. While Donald Duck has three nephews named Huey, Dewey, and Louie, what are the names of Daisy Duck's nieces? Your guesses were Lucy, Donna, and Helga.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good guesses.
And Tag's guess was, I got nothing.
Those names sound like three like old ladies like stuck in a basement somewhere baking bread or something.
Why would they be stuck in a basement?
I don't know.
That sounds terrible.
The correct answer that we were looking for was April, May, and June.
That sounds much nicer, yeah.
Yeah.
And tonight's bonus question, submitted by listener Christopher K. What attraction has a basketball court in it? Both of you getting that correct, knowing that it is inside the Matterhorn.
Woo!
Very well done tonight.
Thank you. Even though I should not be saying thank you, Teresa. Teresa did well. What'd you get? 4 out of 5?
4 out of 5 for Teresa.
Yeah.
Woo! 3 out of 5.
Those nieces tripped me up.
Well, listeners were nice to you this week.
Thank you, listeners.
Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? Do you think that you've got the questions that could really stump them next time? Or do you want to be really nice to them next time? Whatever way you're feeling, if you think you've got a great question, feel free to send that in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.